Good morning. We're going to move to the halachos of the Dalet Minim and go through some of the basic halachos and what you're looking for why you want to purchase the Dalet Minim. Today's shiur is sponsored by Kol Zichron Amram in honor of Rabbi Moshe Chaim Blatt, all of the effort and work that he does to enhance the learning of the Torah of the community through the Kollel. We would like to start with the halachos of the Esrog. There are two types of Esrogim. There's Esrogim which come with a pitum, Esrogim which come without a pitum. Now, what would be the reason why a person would want to choose one over the other? One of the psulim of Esrog is the psul of chaser. Part of the Esrog is missing. A person drops his Esrog, which has a pitum on it, so there's a concern that if it breaks off, your esrog now is missing part of itself. It's going to be a psul of chaser. We'll talk about what days the psul of chaser applies to later on. So if you look at an esrog with a pitum on it, there are actually two parts to the pitum. There is the esrog itself, then there is the wooden piece which sticks up from the esrog like a straight piece of wood. And then on top there is what's referred to as the shashanta, or the rose, which is the round part of the pitum, which is on top. So if the round part breaks off and the woody piece which is sticking up from the esrog is still there, the esrog is still considered that it's shalim, it's still there, the pitum is still there partially, and that's still kosher. If it'll break the part of the wood, as long as the wood is sticking up above the body of the esrog, it is kosher. So therefore, even if a person takes an esrog with a pitum and it breaks off, it does not necessarily automatically mean that it's going to be pasul. But some people are concerned about that, and therefore they would like to prefer to buy an esrog without a pitum. Now the question is that if you buy an esrog without a pitum, how do you know that that really is a kosher esrog? And this is how the esrog comes, this is how it grew. Possibly this esrog, it was an esrog which had a pitum, which broke off. So Mishnah Berurah says that we have a siman to tell us which one it is. Now we want to point out that all the esrogim, when they first start to grow, there's a pitum there. And we say an esrog is kosher without the pitum. It means that it falls off very early in the process of growth, and it grows basically into the size and shape of an esrog without a pitum. That esrog is kosher even though it does not have a pitum. Since that's how it grows, you will see at the tip of the esrog where the pitum would have been, there's an indentation, a smooth indentation, and a little bit of a rim around the top. That indicates that the pitum fell off very early in the process, and it grew without a pitum, and that's considered a kosher esrog without a pitum. Many the Chazon Ish esrogim in general come without a pitum. That's how they grow. And other esrogim, for example, the bedatz esrogim in general come with a pitum. So if a person would find a bedatz esrog without a pitum, he would have to check to make sure that it broke off very early in the process and not later on, thereby raising a question of being considered a chaser. So whether a person's buying an esrog with a pitum, a person buying an esrog without a pitum, the next thing a person wants to know about after he makes a decision is he wants to buy an esrog which is from a reputable moicher and that has a good hechsher. The reason why this is so important is because there's a psul known as a merkav, grafting. It's a grafted esrog, which means that the tree that it grew from, or the branch that it grew from, or the sapling that it grew from, at one point in time had another citrus fruit grafted into it. Esrog trees in general are weaker trees, therefore grafting them with other trees makes them stronger, so you could have a tree which can last longer, and the fruits actually comes out looking nicer when it's merkav. So there was a temptation to graft it with other types of fruits. So how do you know that your fruit is not, the esrog that you have is not a merkav? The best way to know is that it has a good hechsher. There are simonim which are given. Mishmur brings a list of different simonim which are given which you can use to tell whether it's a esrog, which is merkava, or not. But then he quotes in the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer that these simanim are not reliable. These simanim are not given by Chazal. They were simanim which were developed after people would sit there and try and compare the two, and they found them to not be reliable. You have esrogim, which we know are not merkav, which do not have these simanim, which do not have a simanim that it's kosher, and vice versa. So the question of you want to rebuy from a reputable marker with a valid hechsher. Tomorrow, B'ezras Hashem, we will talk about some of the details of the different things that we're concerned about as we're buying the esrog. Have a good morning.